Welcome to our podcast for Raising Arizona Kids Magazine. I'm Vicki Belint. Low test scores, high dropout rate, kids admitted to college who don't have the skills to be successful there. Is the bar for school achievement too low in Arizona? Expect More Arizona is a group that wants to change all of that by ramping up public awareness of just how far the state has fallen in terms of national and international rankings. President and CEO Pearl Chang Esau grew up in an immigrant family that placed education at the top of the list. She spoke with Raising Arizona Kids photographer and education writer Daniel Friedman about how her organization is trying to change the culture of education expectations in the state of Arizona.
I'm Pearl Chang Esau. I'm the president and CEO of Expect More Arizona. Expect More Arizona is an organization that's dedicated to making a world-class education in Arizona for every student. We believe that every child deserves a world-class education, and while it exists in some areas across Arizona, it still doesn't exist for most. Mm-hmm. So we are working to build a movement, a statewide movement of 1 million Arizonans who are really dedicated to achieving this this vision.
You said 1 million Arizonans who are dedicated to the idea that you need to raise expectations?
Yes. So we're a communications and advocacy organization. And okay. So we do our work through educating Arizonans on the current issues impacting education, mm-hmm. helping Arizonans understand, you know, why is education where it is in Arizona today? What are the problems? What role could you play in helping to change things at a local level, a state level, and even a national level? And so we do our work through both multimedia campaigns mm-hmm. and also grassroots outreach. So we have a team of mobilizers that are working across the state to reach out locally in communities to really give people an idea of ways that they can get involved, whether that's voting, volunteering, advocating, investing. We do our work through ongoing multimedia campaigns and outreach.
So who are they trying to reach?
Primarily voters. Who can really make a big difference when it comes to education. You know, the people, the program, the policies that you vote for when it comes to education really do impact the quality of our education system and the investments that are made. And then also parents and students. You know, parents play the number one role in a child's academic outcomes. And research tells us that engaged parents actually increase high school graduation rates, increases college graduation rates, and overall ability for kids to succeed later on in life. And so we're really working on helping empower parents with taking more of an active role, understanding, you know, what their kids need to learn in school each year. And right now there's actually a big change coming up with our Common Core standards. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of parents don't know this, but recently Arizona actually adopted new state standards. They're called Arizona's Common Core standards. And they're a really critical change to make sure that no matter where your kids are, whether they're in Massachusetts, the highest performing state in the country, or Mississippi, or Arizona, that all kids are going to be held to the same level of expectations, and they are expected to graduate high school ready for college and career. And so these standards are going to be quite a bit more difficult than the standards we currently have in place, and parents are going to play a very important role in helping us make that transition.
So you're trying to get people to raise the expectations for their children. Like, tell the kids, we expect you to do this, this, and this, different from what you have now. So really, you're trying to reach people who aren't currently doing that. Because there's lots of parents, I mean, if you had a meeting, say, anybody interested in education, come on down. Really, anybody who didn't show up is your target audience, almost, don't you think?
Well, yes and no, because actually, overall, we really need to raise the bar for all Arizona kids, even the highest performing kids. And I'll just give you an example. A lot of people don't know that 85% of high growth, high wage jobs in Arizona today are going to require some form of post-secondary education. Mm. So that's career training, community college or college. And actually 60% of all jobs are going to require post-secondary education. And so what's happening and how things are changing in the world today is that post-secondary education is actually replacing high school graduation as the gateway to middle class. And when you think about that, that has a pretty significant impact on our role as educators. What is the role of birth through 12th grade education? If we expect that our kids are going to be able to enter the middle class and have a job that, you know, that allows them to live a good, a decent life, post-secondary education is actually a non-negotiable at this point. And a lot of parents don't really realize that. Arizona actually has one of the lowest post-secondary attainment rates in the country. Out of every 10 high school graduates in Arizona, only 5 qualify for admission to Arizona's universities.
That's pretty frightening.
So, and that's out of the ones that graduate. About 7 out of 10 graduate. About half of those 7 even qualify to enroll. And so we're not talking about just an achievement gap problem. We're not, and that's just to get back to your question, we're not just talking about the parents who don't show up at back to school night. We're actually talking to all parents and saying, look, did you know that, you know, actually it's quite the norm that kids are graduating from high school, having to remediate, having to take extra classes that cost money, that takes longer. In Arizona, only 16 out of 100 ninth graders will go on to college and finish college within 6 years.
So really you're aiming towards the middle or lower middle and higher, because even the higher achieving kids, their expectations are too low, perhaps.
Right, and I shared a little bit about Arizona and where we rank, right? You know, we are often average or below average, unfortunately, when it comes to our educational rankings, and that's when you compare ourselves nationally. When you really think about the world that our kids are growing up in, and you know, I have a one-year-old, and I think about, you know, the jobs that are going to exist for my daughter by the time she's out of high school, college, don't even exist today. And already, kids are having to compete globally. You know, as Tom Friedman says, the world is flat. And so, you know, we have to think about how our kids are going to compete internationally. Now, if Arizona is falling behind the rankings nationally, and the U.S., which used to be the number one in college graduation rates, number one, has now fallen to 16th. We are now 16th in the world in college graduation rates. We used to be a global leader. You know, we've now fallen to average. And so if Arizona can't keep up nationally, we most certainly can't compete internationally. So we absolutely have a message for every parent, for every parent.
So it's kind of a mess. How do you reach people who think their expectations are where they're supposed to be? Because I look at your Expect More Arizona website, I think, oh, how do you reach the people who have low expectations when possibly I'm in that group, maybe I'm not expecting enough. So how do you change what people think of what they're doing? Because most people are fairly comfortable. They're, oh no, my kid's going to school, they're getting A's and B's. How do you change their expectations?
Sure, that's a great question. I think that primarily it has to do with vision. You know, you, as a former teacher, I used to teach fifth grade, you can't help people get somewhere unless they have a vision of where they're trying to go. And the same thing is true for parents. If you don't know what world-class third grade education looks like, you don't have anything to compare it to. And so, especially if you're an immigrant from another country, or you didn't grow up here, you didn't go to college, you don't necessarily have a good, like a strong internal barometer for what where the bar should be. And so, for example, one of the things we'll strive to do with an upcoming campaign is to highlight examples of excellence. So in October, Expect More Arizona is launching the Expect More Excellence Tour. And the goal of that campaign is to do exactly what I just said, to create a shared vision for excellence, to build that sense of public demand. You know, we want to reach a tipping point in Arizona where Arizonans really understand where we're trying to go, and mediocrity or being middle of the pack just isn't acceptable anymore. And I really think that starts with showing parents, showing voters what really great looks like. So in October, we're going to ask people from all over the state, whether it's local businesses or parent groups or schools, to actually submit examples of excellence to us in the video format and essay format. We'll highlight those on our website. We'll then ask people to vote. There will be a whole campaign where people actually vote on examples of excellence. And then in January and February, we'll get on a bus and we'll invite nonprofit leaders, community leaders, elected leaders to go on the bus with us and actually make pit stops around the state and have kind of a regional excellence expo.
If you have people vote who maybe, you have to make sure those people have high expectations and can identify, because it's kind of a dicey area, because I used to teach and some parents, you'd say, well, your kid can really do much, much better. Maybe turn off the video games and the TV and take the phone out of the room, and they weren't all that convinced. So I think you must run into that continuously. It's like, what does it really look like, and what's the experience like for the kid to be?
It's a challenge, but it's not one that can't be overcome. I really believe that as a parent, the best thing you can do is go to your child's school and sit down and talk with the teacher. If you're paying attention, you can get a sense of who the good teachers are at the school, whether your child has a teacher who's challenging them. I really think that as a parent, it is possible to figure that out. And there are guideposts. You know, so for example, we create academic milestone one-pagers. So we've created kind of a simple tips and tools one-pager for parents of each grade level to say, here are some of the milestones that your child should be reaching this year according to the new rigorous Common Core standards. You know, you can kind of go down that list and say, figure out, okay, does my child know how to do this? If not, go sit down with your child's teacher and talk about that. And then there are some tips for ways that parents can support that at home. There are also other external indicators that parents, I think, should really look into. So for example, what is the college going rate at your child's local high school? You can find that out. You can go to your child's counselor office or front office and say, I would like to know what percentage of kids graduate from this high school and go directly to college. If the majority of kids from that high school do not graduate and go directly to college, I would, you know, be on a little bit more alert of, is there a college going culture at this high school? And I would start asking some important questions. There's also school letter grades. We recently passed a law in Arizona where we're now grading schools on an A through F letter grade system. And so at the very least, you could get online and look up, you know, there's many tools, including the Education Evaluator, and just find out what your school's graded.
Are those ratings based on higher expectations? So a school that thinks they do pretty good, they could get a C minus? I mean,
as you know, being a former teacher, no evaluation system is perfect. So you just kind of have to do the best you can. And this A through F letter system is much better than the system we had before. The system we had before was kind of a confusing mix of labels that didn't really mean anything. The new letter grading system is actually half based on a variety of factors, including absolute performance on state tests. But the other half of it, which is really interesting, is actually based on growth. And so why that's important is because if you have students who came in behind, you know, maybe you're a teacher and you're in your school serving low-income kids and they're coming in maybe two or three levels behind, half of that letter grade is actually based not on where they ended up, but where they started. So how far they grew from where they started.
Which is a lot more accurate, really.
Yes.
The change.
Especially, it helps compare a little bit more apples to apples. Because the last thing we would want to do is penalize schools for serving low-income kids. Right, and so we should reward them for actually making more progress with kids who are behind. Part of that growth grade is based on the lowest quartile.
So your mission is to take that message and the vision and get people to buy into it and make use of it.
The vision is to really create a culture change. When you think about major culture changes in history, you know, there used to be a time when slavery was acceptable in America. It was okay. People had plantations, they had slaves, it was A-okay. Is slavery acceptable today?
Certainly not.
It's not. You know, the same thing goes for, you know, desegregation of schools. At one time it was okay for all the black kids to be put together and all the white kids to be put together. Culture changes over time. And we believe at Expect More Arizona that it is absolutely possible and it's actually necessary if Arizona and the United States are going to remain competitive in a global world, you know, a globally competitive world, that we have got to create a culture change in Arizona and in the United States that embraces excellence. We have to get to that tipping point where the prevailing belief of Arizonans is that average and mediocre or world class for some kids but not for others is just not acceptable. And the way that you will know that that is true is when you start seeing that public demand. You will see it show up in the way that people vote. There will actually be a culture of accountability around education when we show up at the polls. You will see schools embracing excellence. You will see community support coming around the schools for raising the bar rather than saying, oh, there are some kids that just can't make it. You know, statements like that won't be tolerated anymore. And most of all, I think our message is that it's not just about what other people can do better. Everyone has a role to play. And so whether you have kids in the public school system, the private school system, whether you have kids that are school-aged or not, there is a role that you can play to help improve education in Arizona. And so we do our work by educating people about the issues, why there are issues, and then giving them a way to engage, whether that's through our Vote for Education campaign or our Expect More Excellence tour or our ongoing parent engagement or ongoing student engagement. The problem can often seem so complex that people feel overwhelmed, and so we want to make it a little easier.
Well, you must feel overwhelmed because, like, the cultural change is a very slow mm-hmm. beast, and you must lay awake at night going, how do I make it move faster? I mean, you've taken on a rather large project. I mean, because you taught fifth grade.
Yeah.
And which probably seems fairly simple compared to this.
You know, I appreciate you bringing that up because I do think that it requires us taking a different approach than we have in the past in two primary ways. One is collaboration. We really have to start thinking about how communities work together in the best interest of kids. Education does not just take place in classrooms anymore. Especially with technology. You know, kids are learning everywhere. They've got their smartphones, they're over the Science Center, you know, getting an experience through the snowboarding, you know, 3D thing that they're on. I mean, there's Math Alive going on over there. I mean, there's so many different things happening in the community that we have to really think about how we work together to make sure that overall, by the time a kid graduates high school, they're ready for the next step. And their goal is to complete post-secondary education. And so I guess I would say I don't feel like we're doing it alone. It wouldn't be a movement if it weren't for our collaborative partners. And Expect More Arizona is really unique in the way that it was formed. It was formed by a collaborative partnership of statewide public and private leaders who said, you know, we have such transformative grand changes we need to make in Arizona education that we aren't going to be able to do it alone. And maybe we will be able to go a lot farther if we actually join forces and create one movement, one vision, and one voice for Arizona education that, you know, everyone can kind of plug into. And so I'd say we have probably over 75 collaborative partnerships of people who are actually engaged organizationally in Expect More Arizona, and thousands who are engaged at an individual level.
So these are people who do who go out and talk to people, or what is their role exactly?
It depends. You know, we have a CEO. We have a CEO Business Leadership Advisory Council. So that council that we launched this year, our goal with them is to take this message and use their platform as business leaders. They have thousands of employees, you know, many of whom are parents. And so, just to get very concrete, you know, we'll ask our Business Leader Advisory Council. Okay, we've got the Common Core standards coming. Can everybody focus on communicating about the Common Core standards? They've got company newsletters, they make speeches, you know, so there's so many ways to get the word out. The other way that I think we need to approach things differently is that we're really advocating for a long-term view. You're right, culture change takes time. It takes a long time. And if we keep kind of swinging back and forth every time we have a different, you know, a change in elected office, for example, or if we keep kind of scrapping old plans or recommendations for new ones, you know, that's not going to get to where we need to be. We really need to I think, simplify and focus, and just know that we're going to need to work together over time, a constant drumbeat, working towards that goal, and that eventually we will get there. And I think we have to encourage ourselves and each other along the way. I think oftentimes we beat each other up, ourselves up, for not reaching the goals that we set out. But, you know, a lot of times we haven't tried very long before we're on to the new plan.
Well, and so, I think that's what happens. Political winds blow different directions and we get distracted. Because really, if you have all those people delivering the message to the parents, because like you said, the parents are their kids' most important educational ally, the parents have to buy into the raising the expectations and being accountable. Because when I taught, certainly, if the parents weren't sending their kids to school, expecting them to do well, the kids, they knew they were off the hook. Not many self-motivated kids without motivated parents at home. So speaking about parents, you're a parent. You mm-hmm. have Kaya, she is how old?
She's 19 months.
So she'll grow up with very high expectations, obviously, because this is your business. But But when she sees, as she gets older and you're working for this cultural change, how do you think your job of being a cultural change agent will affect her? I mean, what do you think how will it shape the way you parent and the way she perceives education? I mean,
Well, I think I am where I am because of my parents. You know, my parents were the ones that created that foundation for that high expectations culture. I'm Chinese, and my relatives come from Taiwan and China, and education is the most important thing. And our family motto is 知识是权力，别人绝对拿不走, which means knowledge and education are power, and that's the only thing no one can take away from you. That's how I was brought up. I grew up in an immigrant family. English was my second language. My grandparents were poor. They got to where they are because of education. And so the thing that my husband and I worry about, my husband's a school principal. We have a lot of educators in our family.
Yes.
The thing that my husband and I worry about is that Kaya is being born into having a lot more than we did. And so I think both my husband and I, when we were younger, it kind of helped us to not have a lot, because we still had that sense of, oh, we got to work really hard. We're going to need to work really hard if we're going to make it. And we got that from our parents. Now, Kaya is going to be one generation removed, because she's growing up in a nice middle-class home, you know. And I don't know if she's going to see quite as much why education is so relevant and so important. So that is going to be our job, to help her understand why it is. I think for any parent, it's about really understanding what motivates your child, seeing what they're passionate about, and really building on that.
So I guess, I mean, if she says, oh, so what'd you do at work today, Mom? He says, well, I'm trying to change the culture. I mean, you're essentially the culture you're trying to, you were born into the culture of education is important. Mm-hmm. Certainly in my family is the same way. If you didn't do good in school, you were not going to do anything fun. I mean, just that was the end of it. So it should be really interesting to her to see from the comfortable middle class existence what the expectations look like. Because yes, if you're really poor, it'd be like, look what we could have, but you have some of that. So
I think it's constantly not letting your kids settle. You know, they can always challenge themselves a little bit more. And I remember I used to come home from school and get like a 95 or 97, and my mom would always say, instead of saying, good job, honey, she would say, well, what did you miss? You know, let's see the problems that you didn't get right, and do you know how to do them? And that is high expectations.
That's the highest expectation.
Yeah.
That would be pretty rare to have parents that
That will carry. That will carry into our home. And I think something that I've learned, and I think it's because I've had the luxury and the space to learn it, whereas my dad really did grow up poor, but I've had a little bit more space to like reflect about the purpose of education, you know, because it wasn't just about getting a meal on the table. And for me, I really think that it's not just about learning to get the grades. It's more about learning to fulfill your purpose in life. You know, how does what you learn enable you to fulfill your own potential and then also be able to serve others around you, serve people in your community, and have that greater impact outside of just having a good life? I mean, it's great, it's good and fine if you have a comfortable life, but if you're not doing anything to help anyone else, you know, I think that's a really important value of ours. And so for me, it'll be a combination of what did you miss? And also, you know, how are you applying your knowledge to really, you know, help other people? How are you using what you know to do good in the world? I think that's a privileged perspective, honestly, because, you know, there are a lot of families who they have to, number one reason to get a good education is economic.
So they can eat.
Right? If you go to college, it will break the cycle of generational poverty. That's the number one reason to go to college. I hugely respect the kids who are able to get through the pipeline of working and having family responsibilities and graduating college. Every single one of them makes it because they have a caring adult figure in their lives, whether it's a parent or a mentor or a teacher. So we're going to have to work hard at that for our daughter, yeah.
So if you were going to talk to the parents that read Raising Arizona Kids, what would you tell them, one or two or three things that they should know, that they should do in terms of their kids' education to raise expectations?
Well, I'm sure a lot of parents out there could tell me a lot since my daughter's only one. But I do think I had a really great model. I think I had a really great I had really great parents. And I would say number one is to really, really know your kids. You know, it's so easy as busy parents to just kind of do what's in front of you, send them to the local school, keep it, you know, not, it, just trust. Most of us trust that the local school is just, it's going great, they're on track. And, you know, I think that nowadays with all the choices that we have, a part of it is really understanding what motivates your kid. What are they passionate about? Every child has something that motivates them. There's always something you can tie back to education, and then get them plugged in at their school with extracurricular activities, or find a school that specializes in that, whether it's music or art or whatever it is. If a kid's interested in sports, you know, don't say, oh, well, you're not going to be an athlete, so you better get serious about education. Say, did you know how many careers that you could actually go do being interested in sports? You could be a trainer, you could be a physician's aide, you could be, you know, an agent. I think you really just have to build on your kid's interests. I guess I would say the other thing is really get to know your kid's teachers. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us come from a background where we just accept that the teacher's role is the teacher's role. And we just kind of go with it. And I think that in some cases that works out just fine. But in other cases, as I said, half of all of Arizona's high school graduates can't go to college directly without remediating.
So there's a problem.
Clearly there's a problem. And if I were you as a parent, I would want to know, is my kid on track in this K-12 system that they're in? No matter what grade they're in, are they on track to actually not being one of those five that aren't ready for college? And you can find that out by asking questions at your school, having conversations with your child's teacher, making sure that your teacher's constantly challenging your child. Even if your kid is a straight A kid, I would still be in there asking, you know, what's the next step? What's the next level? You know, how could we challenge my son or daughter even more? So I think those would be the two pieces of advice. And then Expect More Arizona is a place where you can go to as a resource. We've just launched a parent forum, so you can go on there and ask each other questions. And then we strive to create really valuable resources and put out newsletters. We have a parent newsletter, mm-hmm. You know, that we send on an ongoing basis to keep information fresh, you know, keep people plugged in and keep the resources coming.
How many years did you teach?
I just taught 2 years. I came in through the Teach for America program.
Right, and then you, because you ran Teach for America in Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went right to Expect More, so. Okay, well, good thing you're young then, because you're a long, you know, long way to go. I mean, this is cultural change is hard, because I know that the frustrations I had in the classroom were that some kids, you knew they could do it, but they just like, and these were high socioeconomic kids. They weren't like under-resourced, they were over-resourced.
Right.
And still, a lot of these kids are just kind of doing nothing, and their parents are like, well, we're busy, you're really busy, the nanny will help you. And,
So I think teachers' greatest challenge is their capacity. Because mm-hmm. you know that if you spend enough time with that kid that was not seeming engaged, there's something that will hook them.
And when you have that many students, like in middle schools, I taught, I had 142 kids there, I realized some kids, I hardly ever talked to that kid because there's plenty to keep me busy.
And that's why I say the challenge is capacity. But there are ways to address that. You know, there are schools. The majority of our public school kids in Arizona are kids of color, and they're from low income backgrounds. So that situation that you're describing of kids who may not know their vision or be totally engaged is actually quite normal in Arizona. And there are strategies, very concrete strategies. So, for example, I've heard of middle schools putting all the kids' names on, like as a faculty meeting, putting all the kids' names up. And you go and put a star next to every kid that you actually could have a personal conversation with, you know? And then as a school, you look at which children in this school do not have a caring adult that is talking to them on a daily basis. And then every teacher adopts just one, you know? And then you make sure you have 5-minute conversation before school, 5-minute conversation after school, and that makes all the difference. And you ask that kid, do you have everything you need? So there are ways, I think there are ways to address it, but I guess what we're saying at Expect More Arizona is that it really starts with the commitment. If you commit to not giving up, if you commit to reaching every child, it's going to lead you down a different path than if you just say, well,
that
some kids just don't make it.
Right.
You know, and that's the culture change we're trying to get to, because it's the right thing to do, but it's the right thing to do from a moral standpoint, but it's also the right thing to do from an economic standpoint. As a minority-majority state, if we have that attitude, we are headed down a path of decreasing our quality of life. It's a real challenge that we have to kind of flip the switch and say, you know, it's time to stop viewing our diversity as a problem to solve. Our diversity is an asset, and how do we maximize that in Arizona?
New stories, events, and calendar updates for families at RaisingArizonaKids.com. I'm Vicki Belint. Thanks for listening.
Raising Arizona Kids Radio is a Small Change production. All rights reserved. This material may not be broadcast or redistributed without permission.